What a wonderful opportunity to stand before you in the house of God. What a wonderful thrill it is to be in a church. But when you walk in, you feel love. What a thrill to walk into a church where you feel like people are honestly, sincerely glad to see you. To ask about what's been going on in your life. To share your burdens when you are struggling. And at the same time, to share the praises and the joy when you have things to testify about. Things that God is doing for you in your life that you just got to tell somebody. I like it when people come into God's house and they feel led within their heart to just simply tell somebody. I was so moved on Wednesday night. We had a young lady here who usually on a Wednesday night, she rarely will speak up. I'm not going to embarrass her. Her initials are Carol. Something like that. Starts with a C. And Wednesday night, we couldn't keep her quiet. Because of the things that she was sharing about what God was doing in her life. We were studying in our little booklet there. And the page that we were reading on, and trust me, if you've ever been here on a Wednesday night, it's not that we go at too fast a pace. We'll just put it that way. And the page that we were looking at, that there are no spectators. No spectators in God's work. He expects each and every one of us to be in it. You got a job to do. You've got something that God will lay upon your heart. You just got to do it. And I believe when you allow God to lead and He speaks to your heart, an individual that you got to talk to. You got to pick up that phone. You got to send it something. God just laid it upon my heart that I should share with you. I believe that the love of God is shown through our love one for another. Our love can never be even close to what God's love has been towards us. And that's why I like this story that we're studying on about the prodigal son. I love this story. It's one that you've heard many times. It's a story about a young man who demands his inheritance to head off. And he spent that inheritance unwisely. The story is about him, and it says in the scripture, he came to himself and he came back and he pretty much just begged his father to allow him to simply be as one of his workers. But the story is so warm. The story is so special because the story is about the father. It's about a father who allowed this son to have his inheritance. Tradition at that time, two sons. One came to his father. And tradition would have it that, and the law stated in the Bible, the Old Testament at that time, that 2/3 of the inheritance would go to the elder son, and 1/3 would go to the younger son. The only problem with that law, the way it was written, is that for that to happen, father had to die. So basically, you've got a son coming to a father and saying, this is what I want. The only problem is, you need to die. That's how this story starts. But the story is about a father who shows unlimitless grace. He shows warmth. He shows kindness. He answers the request of his son. I read where during that time they had a ritual where when a young man would make such a request that they would actually gather people around and would take a pot out and they would, in front of him, they would take this pot and would throw it down and break it. And then all the people would then turn their backs because this young man was cut off from any further dealings with any of the friends, any of the relatives, any of the acquaintances. It says in the 17th verse, when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I'm reading the book of St. Luke in the 15th chapter. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. He arose, came to his father. And there in that 20th verse is where the story starts to get real good, because it says his father. But when he saw he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran. Father didn't wait for him to come to him. He ran. He ran to that son who had embarrassed him. He ran to that son who had been cut off. He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son then said to the father, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Those are the exact same words that are mentioned just two verses before. But I think this time when the son said them, he meant it. Altogether different when you have words that you can say and things that you just so easily, items just roll off our tongue. But such a difference when those things are meant from the heart. Why? Because he was so moved. He had his little game plan in his mind. He says, you know, I'll go back to my father. I know he's been an honest man. He will take me back most likely as a servant. But that plan that he had when he came and his father saw him, and his father comes running because his father was outside looking for him. He comes running. That young man, I believe, was so moved by what the father did that these words that he shared, they were then coming from the heart. I love stories. I love stories that just uplift my heart. We're going to get into a part of the story that comes up that's even more saddening about an older brother. But before I do that, I want to mention something that I know you've probably heard so much of this weekend. And today is the 20-year anniversary of the Oklahoma bombing. I can remember where I was when I heard the news. As you get older, You remember those things when you heard news on certain days. And I was moved when I heard this story. And then later on, when you started to hear all the details, the story just seemed to tug at your heart even more and more and more. The death toll went all the way up to, I think it was about 169 that perished that day. So many people also injured. And so sadly, that coward had felt in his comments that it was not successful because that Murray building completely didn't collapse. And it brought out anger within your heart. But then I also read something that just thrilled my heart. I love trees. I'm fortunate down in Fredericksburg to have a place that's got trees. I mean trees, trees. If you ever run out of leaves in the fall, you come see me. I will fix you up. I'm so fortunate at a young age. My father would talk about trees because he'd worked in the sawmills. And it was amazing to me how you can know the difference between an oak tree and a hickory and a poplar. Which ones were good to cut and burn. And simply by looking at the bark and looking at those leaves on that tree, he just rattled them off. And I was always scared to ask, so I just listened and learned. And there right across from that building is an American elm tree. It is referred to as the survivor tree. Surrounded by parking lot and all the devastation of that day, so much the burning, the cars, the building, everything. It was described that tree was so damaged there was no hope. People said cut it down, and someone said no, don't cut it down. We got too much work to do. And as you can well imagine, the tree survived. And so many people have gone to that tree, named the survivor tree. And although that we go through challenges, and although we go through struggles, although we go through things that challenge us and things we just cannot make sense of, God shows us a way through His love that we can survive. When we have a time of devastation in our lives, we act in different ways. Some of us just go off. Some I'm the worst one. When things go bad, I get busy. I feel I got to work a little harder. I got to work it out. I got to work it out. I got to work it out. And God keeps telling me that says, you just can't work hard enough. There is only one individual's labor that was enough to take care of the problem. That was the labor of my Savior upon a cross. And even this weekend, I was looking at the pictures about the survivor tree, and I got all excited. It's a wonderful time to be here in the state of Virginia when the trees are blooming. The pollen is so thick you can cut it with a knife. You sneeze, you cough, and then you sneeze and cough some more. You look at all the beautiful blooms, and this morning the wind was up a little bit, and the old Bradford pears over there, the blooms were coming down, and for a moment it looked like it was snow, and I said, oh Lord. The guys at work, we love the trees. We have a little saying at work that we use between us. I always like to get a point across with a little story, and there's a guy that shows up and job site, and he looks out, and there's two guys there. And one guy's digging a hole and moving to the next hole. Another guy right behind him filling the hole in. He moves the next hole, and he fills the hole in. Next hole, and fills the hole in. Finally, the guy stops. He says, "I got to ask you, what are you doing today?" He said, "Well, we're rather proud. We have a 3-man crew that plant trees. One of us dig the hole, another guy puts a tree in, and another guy fills the hole. Problem is, the guy that puts the tree in, he didn't show up work today." Sometimes you got to modify your plan. Sometimes you got to go what I call the spiritual flow. You have a plan in your life. You have one that God has set forth. You have things in your own life that you thought of. I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this. And my, oh my, what a change happens when God steps in. And His plan starts to take shape. It was God's plan that that father saw that son running from far off. It was God's plan that he would run to him and he would show such compassion, such compassion, such warmth, such forgiveness. It's a story about the Father. And that's what we're going to look into. We're going to try to better understand. I want to understand this love that the Father shows for me. Been around this church thing a long time. Sung a lot of songs, preached many a sermon. But I am still in my mind and in my heart trying to fully wrap my heart's arms around this thing called grace. Grace. Because the more I understand it, the more it has an effect on me. I stand before you, a sinner saved by grace. Amen? Amen. I stand before you. So many times, myself, my own life, my mind, I'll get all unworthy, unworthy, unworthy. Then I realize it's the focus that I place on Him and on His Word and what He says about me that allows me to do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Hope you're going to enjoy the nice weather. And I know you probably had the grill out this weekend or took the rag and wiped all the pollen off of it. Or I don't know how you spend your weekend. I don't know whether you like to be at home and catch up on all your things that you needed to do. You may have a whole load of stones sitting in your driveway and needs to be unloaded. That's why I'm going to Fredericksburg. It's quite a ways from that load of stone down there that somebody mentioned this morning. But I believe when you take time to focus on what God has done for you, you'll be blessed. You're going to see things in your life start to change. You're going to get off this me thing. You're not going to be like that old prodigal son that gone out and he said, "Well, I'll fix it. I'll go back and see my father and I'll fix it. I'll say something to him." And then what happened? God allowed that father to show compassion and to change that son's heart. We're going to talk about a change of heart. We're going to talk about how thankful we are to have a loving God. Amen. Heavenly Father, we've come into your house. We've sung praises unto your name. We've shared what we hope is the wonderful truth, God, and we thank you for it. God, we ask now that our people are struggling, that you'll just be ever so compassionate, warm, and kind. When people have questions, that God, you will reveal the answer. God, when there's sickness, you'll bring health. When there's doubt, you'll bring conviction in our hearts so that we can simply, without a doubt, just believe on what you say in your word. God, we thank you for the service today and all the people that took part. And God, allow us to just carry a bit of this heaven that we felt here today with us as we go about our work days and about our weeks. Allow us to be that light that you shine through to reach out to a world that is lost and is looking for warmth, is looking for a light. God, be your will. Bring us back again to be in your house and to sing praises unto your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus.